Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City. I'm Connor McDowell.
And I'm Dylan McDowell. And here we are once again, some more drama on this fine day.
And Dylan, I have some drama for you. I know that, I don't know when this episode's coming out, but I just have to say this because we recorded a couple this week and we didn't talk about something hugely impactful that's going on in Bachelor Nation, in the world of The Bachelorette. So as we talked about, The Bachelorette started filming in the midst of quarantine at La Quinta, the resort, and it was supposed to be Claire Crawley. She was like supposed to be The Bachelorette early March. One day into filming, they shut down because of COVID, and then they, you know, everyone quarantined. They sort of figured out how they would do this, and 12 days into filming her season, she refused to leave her room and has stopped, you know, she's kind of given up her title as the Bachelorette. She, I guess, fell in love. This is a mild spoiler, which I guess we'll see play out in a few episodes this fall, but she fell in love with the guy she gave her first impression rose to, and she's like done being the Bachelorette, whatever.
And iconic. That is such a Claire Crawley thing to do.
Oh my God. So iconic. I almost should have expected something odd like this to happen with her. Mm-hmm. But what's like super dramatic is that they're replacing her, and they already have, with Tayshia, who was in the final three on Colton's season, like two Bachelors ago. And then she was on Bachelor in Paradise and dated John Paul Jones. She's beautiful.
JPJ.
I know. He's so cute.
Such a cutie.
But didn't he end up being kind of problematic?
I think he just relentlessly pursued her even when she said no over and over again.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's not okay.
Which is troubling. Very troubling.
I feel like in old-timey movies, that was, like, romantic. But now it's like, when someone says no, leave them the hell alone.
I know.
But anyway, so Tayshia is the new Bachelorette. And I have questions because was she quarantined for 2 weeks, like the whole rest of the cast? Claire got through 12 days of filming. She was probably down to, like, a top 10 or 12 at that point. Did they bring back guys that were already cut? Did they bring back guys that Claire cut on the first night? I guess some of the guys were already posting on social media like, I'm free from ABC now. I'm not doing Bachelorette anymore. So,
wait, that's so interesting to think about because, you know, they had like backup guys and everything ready in case people got sick or tested positive. So maybe they had Tayshia on hold in case something happened.
That's an interesting theory because, okay, further evidence here. The guy that Claire has allegedly ended up with is someone who was in her initial batch when the batch on her season that was announced in March. So people think that maybe they met via text, whatever, DMs, all of quarantine, fell in love, met in real life. She gave him the first impression rose and was like, this is my man. I can't date anybody else. This is my guy. Okay. And then, so maybe the producers kind of had caught on to that and had Tayshia ready. I don't know. It's all very strange to me, but I'm excited to watch it. This is unprecedented drama. And this is like, I guess, the second reality show that we'll see play out in real time in a COVID America. The other being
Big Brother All-Stars.
Which, I don't know. We don't have time to get into now.
I don't really want to talk about Big Brother right now, but it is like crazy that I think it's the first show I've seen other than the news where people are wearing masks on TV, and it's just jarring to see if this is the world we live in.
And I was wrong. Tommy Bracco's not on this season of Big Brother All-Stars, but it's okay. We'll see him next time.
Drama. You know what? Let's get past all of the reality show drama. I think it's time you bring in our guest.
I am ready. Okay. I'm reading the intro today. This is exciting for me.
I'm trusting you.
Oh my God. All right. Our guest today is the body of Broadway. He's equally talented as he is hunky, having been nominated for the 2011 Astaire Award for Best Male Dancer, won 2 Broadway.com Audience Choice Awards for Favorite Breakthrough Performance and Favorite Diva Performance, and was honored by the American Theater Hall of Fame. He created the role of Adam/Felicia in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert on Broadway, as well as originated Angelique in the original Tony-winning revival of La Cage aux Folles. He's donned the white pants as Fiero in the national tour of Wicked, played Larry in the Broadway revival of A Chorus Line, as well as appeared in Guys and Dolls, The Pirate Queen, in the international tour and Broadway cast of Chicago, and was most recently starring as Whizzer in the tour of Falsettos. He plays the iconic gay influencer Dallas Drake on the other two, as well as having appeared in Sex and the City 2, Lawrence of My Labia, An Englishman in New York, As the World Turns, Guiding Light, and more. Please welcome to Drama, Nick Adams.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
What an intro.
You've done so many things, and I feel like I don't even know where to begin, but I guess I'll just start by asking, Nick, are you well?
I'm well. Yes. Thank you.
I always like to check in. I'm well.
Yeah,
oddly.
Doing pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Things Good. Have been going all right, all things considered. We're having a blast here on Drama. We're very thankful to our friend Haley Pichoon for connecting us to you. So shout out to Haley.
Hey, Haley. Hey, hey.
Now, how do you and Haley know each other?
We actually, for a short period, went to college together.
Oh, cool.
I think she only did a year, maybe, or like a semester. But we were on all the same dance classes. And she was a freshman. I think I was like a junior. Yeah. And that's how we met. And we've been friends ever since. And we actually bonded over our love of Britney Spears. So
yes, of course.
It was common ground for us. Yeah.
Oh my God. Nick, that reminds me something that, okay. So I follow you on Insta. I follow Britney Spears. We have to talk about how you comment on every single one of her posts with like a word or phrase with knee at the end, like, you know, like red, white, and blue knee or something. Like, what inspired this iconic endeavor that you've partaken on?
It's something that was just like birthed from the Britney Spears fandom over the years that like people would just be like, I think like God knee, like people used to call, they still call her God knee, but it's like more from that, term of endearment, which is one of her favorite phrases. It's ridiculous, like it's so stupid and the things that I try to think of, but her posts just inspire me every day for a new one. So yeah, my friends get a kick out of it. I think it's funny, and I love her, so it's never meant to be, you know, disrespectful or cruel in any way, but I'm glad you noticed.
Is she all right? Do you guys know?
I don't know. I hope she is. I can't imagine that she is, but I wish her the best. I really, you know, she's been the source of joy for a lot of people, and I hate to think that she doesn't have joy in her own life.
Yeah.
So I don't know. She's not the same. She doesn't seem like she's the same person that I grew up like with, in a sense, mm-hmm. you know, she's been through some shit. So
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I really hope she's okay. It's just her social media presence wants to suggest otherwise.
Yeah,
it does. So, doesn't it?
It's just, yeah, it's bizarre. Bizarre.
Well, Britney really is so unproblematic and she's so nice and like pure, I think, you know what I mean? Like she really is just so sweet and honestly a trailblazer in the image of pop that she created in the 90s, or I guess that they created in her image, is just like all of the girls that have followed in her footsteps. Like, I don't know if Britney gets enough credit for
Agreed.
Who she is and how long she's been working. I don't know if we'll ever see new music from her again, but
God, maybe. I hope so.
Yeah, she sure still loves to dance, you know?
Yeah. She does love to do that.
You know what I was listening to yesterday was Breathe On Me, which is like, oh,
so good.
Oh my
really
God.
Holds up.
Completely holds up. Love.
Nick, didn't Britney notice your, like the video of you doing one of the Britney numbers at 54?
Yeah. So Broadway Loves Britney was a night at 54 Below and I did Slave For You.
Yeah.
She watched like, they sent her a link of like all of the videos and she tweeted about it and was like, Britney loves Broadway and these are amazing. So yeah, I did Slave For You in like full tilt drag, with two backup dancers and a band. And, yeah, if you haven't seen it, to check it out.
We'll share it. It is truly legendary. It's so good.
Thank you.
You sort of have like this knack for drag throughout your career. Like it's sort of like a thread. Did you ever imagine that would be something that would sort of be a through line?
No, never. Yeah, it's weird. I think I probably am like the only, I think I've been in more Broadway musicals as a drag queen than anyone ever, I think.
I think so.
I've been in drag in 3 Broadway shows.
Mm-hmm.
In Chicago, in La Cage, and in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. So I don't know if there's anybody that knows that answer. I think,
yeah, like I can't think of.
I think that I should be like a guest judge on Drag Race because of that.
I agree. Right? You should be. Or like the guest, like a guest choreographer who then like sits on the panel, like in like judges, yeah, like one of the big numbers that they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So wait, was Drag Race on yet? Yeah, it was. It had started, it was in its earlier years when you were in Priscilla at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that was, 2010 or 11? 2011, I think. So yeah, it was on.
Wow. When was the first time you even did drag?
The summer before I went to college, I was on scholarship at Gus Giordano, which is a dance company in Chicago. It's in Evanston, Illinois. And one night I went to, we went out with like the company members and they took me to the Baton, which I don't know if it still exists anymore. I think it closed, but it was like this legendary famous drag club in downtown Chicago. And I think that was like the first like real drag show I'd seen. Anyway, they picked me out of the audience and took me down in the basement and like had the like legit people that work there do me up in drag and then like throw me out and had to like dance for tips for with A Man I Feel Like a Woman by Shania Twain. And then all of the money that I got tipped and went to like a charity or something at the time that they were raising money for. But I looked amazing. Like honestly, because I was, you know, I was like, what, 18, 19. I was very delicate. And it looks good. It looked really good. But that was it. And then in college, we used to do a drag like fundraiser every year. That my class actually started. And so I think it still exists. I went to school in Boston. And that was it. And I never thought that it would ever come into my life again. And then my first show out of school, I had on my resume that I could sing in falsetto, like in special skills. And so it was like my first week in New York, I auditioned for Chicago. And they were like, oh, we see that you can sing in falsetto. You know, a little bit of Good, which is Mary Sunshine's song. And I was like, yeah.
Right.
And so they said, can you come to the theater tomorrow morning? And we want you to sing it for the musical director. And I was like, okay. Which was crazy because Chicago, when I was 15, my first trip to New York, Chicago was the first musical I saw. So I was just, this is like 8 years later that I'm at that theater, like sitting there by myself waiting for them to come audition me. So then I sang a little bit of Good. This is Friday, and then Monday I got a phone call that I got the job. So,
oh my gosh!
So I was a standby for Mary Sunshine. Was my Broadway debut, my first Broadway gig. But it was only literally because I had that on my resume, and then boom, I'm getting to be a drag queen in a show. So,
wow, I don't know. That's so cool.
Yeah, so that was my first Broadway show as a queen.
When you were in La Cage, do you recall the Real Houses of Beverly Hills filming around the opening night with Camille Grammer and everything?
Well, yeah. I mean, I met Camille and I remember her being around a little bit, but she was like not around that often.
Yeah.
And they did their stuff, you know. I think there's certain rules that could, with like filming backstage and all that, with the unions, that is a little tricky to navigate. But yeah, I remember that being, I'm not like, and I, this is like going to be like sacrilegious to you guys, but I'm not a connoisseur of the Real Housewives empire.
Me either.
So
no,
I
don't
apologize.
Worry.
Okay. I, if it's like on and I catch it, I'm like, oh, this, you know, enjoyable, like bad TV. It's like good TV in the way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm not like, I like, I, like friends of mine are like, who the hell are you? How do you not know who these women are? And I just, but Camille, yeah, I remember her being around.
Oh my God. I know. I actually just binge watched all of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like, earlier this summer, so that's, it's so fresh in my mind. But I was watching and I was like, oh my God, like, this is crazy. I had no idea that it took so much of the drama kind of took place around Kelsey being in a Broadway show, and it was kind of like the dissolution of their relationship, which was very sad. But anyway, yeah, Dylan's not a Real Housewives person.
Not either. At all. I know it just through memes, like on Twitter. Like, I feel like that's like what I know about it,
right? Mm-hmm. And I know, like, I think I watched like the, what was it, New York, was that the original like season? Mm-hmm. Was like,
yeah,
the New York Queens were first. I think I probably watched that, and then I didn't. But I did think I did do one of Luann's concerts once in New Jersey.
That's fun.
The Countess and Friends. You're one of her friends.
Yeah, that's right. I am. I had a Christmas card and a paycheck signed by the Countess. So there you go.
Oh wow.
That's so fun.
Okay, wait. Yeah. I want to go back to Priscilla, because that show is so fun. It didn't really come into my radar until a couple years ago. My boyfriend played Adam and Felicia. And so there was a summer where we were just driving around listening to you sing all the time. Although the licensed version has some different music than the Broadway version. Yeah. Like, I don't think Material Girl was in it. Like, I think it was Venus instead or something weird like that.
Yeah. It's like, depending on what the UK version and the Australian version were, Kylie Minogue. So,
okay.
I don't know like what the deal is with the licensing on it. Because I've seen some productions, not, I haven't seen them physically, but like people have sent me clips of, you know, mm-hmm. like a regional show where they're doing Material Girl. So I don't know if they're like bending the rules or it's like dealer's choice. Whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
What was that experience like creating a role in a Broadway musical?
Honestly, it's the ideal. It's like everything I ever wanted, all in one opportunity. It was insane and it was life changing. And that's how I met my partner. And, it really was like the best. I don't know. I just look back at that time with just such joy and such great gratitude, because it was literally like such a gift. And the cast and my co-stars and, you know, being part of the process from the beginning and having input, I think is really what is the ideal. I mean, that's to feel the most sense of collaboration is in those instances and in those rooms. So to have a say in sort of the crafting and shaping and not, you know, trying to fill someone else's shoes was monumental to my, you know, career and development as an actor. And I felt like so changed from when I started that process to when we closed. It was like, I was a different human. So yeah, God, I miss it. It was, I cherish it. It was absolutely such a ride. And crazy. Like, the things I got to do in that show, and I'll never get to do again, you know, specifically such an over the top, crazy spectacle of a musical. But,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have a constant reminder because my, you know, my partner of 10 years was in the ensemble of that show. That's how we met each other. So.
Oh yes. My God. That's so cute. Okay. So wait, tell me, was it like connection at first meeting kind of thing, or?
Yeah. Like I don't know. I just was so, honestly, I was like so focused and so like stressed the fuck out. I can speak candidly, right? Like,
oh yeah. Anything. Yeah.
Okay. It's like, Hey, yeah, you are used to like doing 5, 6, 7, 8 in the back, and like the weight of the show is not necessarily on your shoulders, but now like this is what it feels like. So I just was, you know, I felt like I was living like a nun and just focused on my job, and I'd come home and like review my scripts every night, go all my, you know, just be ready for the next day. And so it wasn't like, I think I could acknowledge that there was sort of like a flirtatious energy, but I just had my head down. So I was like focused on the work. And then once we were up in Toronto where we did our out of town,
right,
we had like, there was like a close, like a smaller group within the cast that would like, if we had a couple days off, would hang out or like go rent a house, or, you know, do fun stuff together. And he was part of that group. And so it just sort of developed. And then I thought it was going to be like a showmance that, you know, kind of would fizzled out. But it was like, once the show was up and we were doing it, then we were like, oh, hi, you know, but our choreographer, like anytime I had to be partnered or like listed by somebody in the ensemble, they would use Kyle. And so it was like, he kind of, we feel like he had a hand in his, I don't know.
Oh, I love that.
And making that happen. But yeah, and so we were, I remember we were in Times Square, it was like February, and we just were like walking back to my place from the theater, and we were like, is this a thing? Are we boyfriends? Like, what is this? So we don't have like an actual like anniversary date of when we first got together, but like a month or somewhere in that month I remember walking home from the theater and deciding that we were going to be in a relationship. So
that's so cute.
So cute.
I love it. Yeah. And he's of course, I mean, he's in Moulin Rouge and he was in Anastasia, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's actually like never not been in a Broadway show. That's why he's like, this is crazy. I'm so bored. I'm like, bitch, tell me about it. This is what it's like. Yeah. Cause Priscilla, I think he went right into Wicked and then did Wicked for a couple years. And I joined Wicked after him, and then he ended up being my understudy.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So that was crazy. And then he did An American in Paris. And before Priscilla, he was in Legally Blonde, like right out of college. So,
oh, fun.
Did the Broadway cast and then went on tour with it and then left the tour to start Priscilla. So, yeah, and then Anastasia.
Wow.
Moulin Rouge. Yeah. So
that's crazy.
He's had a great career, yeah. I mean, right now they're like, what the hell's happening? But
yeah.
They're optimistic. I mean, they're producers every day. They're like, we're definitely coming back. It's not a question of if, it's when. And
yeah. Good, because Aaron Tveit needs to get his Tony nomination. He is so overdue. He's my baby daddy. It's just a whole scenario.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's pretty remarkable in that show. Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is really great. And when we were like breaking down like who would probably get nominated, this was right before COVID, we were like, all right, who could be up for best leading actor? And he was pretty much the, in my opinion, the front runner. I mean, the lead in Sing Street, if he got well reviewed, could have been in there. And then we don't really know what Flying Over Sunset was going to be, but there was no male lead. I mean, I don't know who they put up for Company. Maybe Isaac Powell for West Side Story, he would be up there too.
Right.
But I think Aaron was kind of a shoo-in. So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. Wait, Legally Blonde, the musical, is one of my all-time favorites. I just need to throw that out.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. I think it's got everything. A strong female lead, positive female friendships. It's inspiring. There's dancing. You'll be crying. You'll be laughing. It's truly, it's the best.
True.
That's Nick, true. Why did we never see you as the UPS guy in that?
Baby, I don't know. I was doing Chorus Line and we were closing and they brought me in for it. Didn't book.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow.
Wasn't meant to be.
So we had Tyler Haynes on the podcast back in January. Yeah. And did you replace him or ultimately did his track in that show?
I replaced Tyler.
Oh my God.
He's one of my best friends.
Oh God. Oh, we love him. He is one of the most supportive, like, I would say him and Haley are two of the most supportive post-podcast interview guests. Like, Tyler views every Instagram story that we post on for the Drama Insta. He will, like, suggest people all the time, like, oh my God, you should have this person. He is so amazing. He really is great.
He is. He's actually, it's funny because when I moved to New York, like, he was the dancer that, like, I wanted to be. Like, I was, like, blown away with his talent. I still am. I mean, he does everything, but at the time I was like, I want to be like him. I want that kind of career. I want to be able to dance like him. So then when I wasn't even that close. We were like, you know, friendly and aware of each other, when I replaced him in Chorus Line, cause it was like pretty early on in my time in New York. But I like to, that to me was like such a level of success to be like, I replaced Tyler Haynes in a musical. Like, are you kidding me? And now we are like, we call each other like sis. I mean, we're like best, my favorite people. But yeah, we actually are like the best at building each other up, which I love about our friendship. We'll be like just incredibly encouraging of one another. But yeah, he does it all. I mean, he is like a true triple threat and sweetheart and funny. And I love that guy.
Oh my God, that's so nice.
Especially because you guys obviously in many ways are similar types. So it's like, I'm sure you've seen each other in audition rooms or something along those. And you're like, but at the same time, since you're so close, like that's cool that there's no rivalry, but like friendly competition in a way.
Yeah. I mean, when one of us gets like a big opportunity, the other is like, it feels as if it's happening to us, you know? And I think that's really rare. Most people are like, that bitch got the job.
It is like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it's special. It's like very, you know, it's not common that you can have a friend that's like the same type. I mean, we are vastly different, but in a lot of ways, like similar in what we do. And so to kind of feel that there's not a sense of jealousy or, I don't know. I feel like we're just at the point where like, we know who we are, like comfortable with who we are.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, early 20s in New York, you're like so cutthroat. Like, I just want to make it and I have to be the best. And so that sort of falls away once you get more grounded with who you are. So here we are in adulthood.
I love that. He's your sis. That reminds me are you watching Canada's Drag Race?
Of course I am.
How Alona and Scarlett Bobo call each other sissy for some reason. Why do they do that?
I could not with Alona. Did you watch last night's episode?
Yeah. I know. We do it in probably a less obnoxious way.
Yeah.
I'm relieved.
Like, we'll just like text each other like this. That's it. Like SIS. And then I'm like, what's up?
Not like sissy.
No, not like that. Look, do your thing, but
yeah.
You guys, Canada's Drag Race though is like, it's so many things.
It's a lot.
It's like, oh, it reminds me of like early years of Drag Race where it was kind of rough around the edges and the judges are like a big question mark for me and like their critiques. It's like, yikes, bike.
Yeah.
But
I have thoughts about the judges for my dose of drama at the end of this podcast that we'll get to, but yeah.
All right. But yeah, I am watching it with bated breath. I'm like, I couldn't wait to vom last night.
I know.
Yeah.
Who were you rooting for at this point?
I mean, honestly, at the beginning, I was obsessed with Boa because she reminded me of like Divine and like had this crazy, like just taking risks and being obnoxious and ridiculous and like very entertaining. Like, I like my drag queens to be an entertainer first and foremost, rather than like a look queen or something. Yeah, she just, for me, I was like, oh, she's going to like kill this. And then she stopped being herself. I don't know. There was something that like, there was a disconnect.
Yeah.
But I think the judges didn't help that. They didn't like, they're not encouraging them to like stay in their lane and like do what they do best. It's weird.
It is weird.
I think Jimbo is awesome. His like looks are killing it. And he's like got such a point of view about everything. I feel like he really knows who he is, so
for sure.
I don't know. I mean, I like them all for certain reasons. Just like,
yeah,
some of them are mean.
I really like Rita Baga, although I don't know if she should have won the challenge last night.
Yeah, I was like, is that even denim? Like, what it looks like?
No,
what's happening? I don't know.
I thought Jimbo should have won that, but maybe they don't want to give Jimbo too many wins. I don't really, I mean, but Rita has a lot of wins too. I don't know,
right?
I don't know. Critiques made it seem like they were like, they thought Scarlett did an amazing job. I don't know. So weird. Yeah, the judging is questionable, but you're right. I think there's like a scrappiness about the queens that they're not all like just trying to sell merch and all that kind of stuff, which of course is amazing and they will do it, but it's like they're not coming in ready to act on TV. They're coming in like ready to compete to be Canada's, you know, top
that's
drag.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
It's cool. I love it.
Yeah.
You've worked with Bianca Del Rio with Broadway Bears, right?
Yeah, I've known Bianca. I mean, she's actually like my favorite drag queen because no one's funnier than her.
She's my favorite winner for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I used to go to like see her shows and like see her in New York when I first moved here. Like, I know her from like the, you know, bar scene. She's like been at opening nights of mine and like obsessed with my mom and her have like a really good mutual love for one another.
Oh, that's so cute.
He's always like, how's your mom? And like, always comments on any post that has to do with my mom, and it's like always sending her messages and stuff. But they fell in love with each other on an opening night. I don't know if it was like for the cause or for Priscilla, but one of those shows.
That's so funny.
But yeah, so Bianca's, what was your question about Bianca?
Oh, I was just mentioning that you guys, I knew you worked together. Bears.
Yeah. And then we ended up doing Broadway Bears together. Oh God, maybe four or five years ago, I think. Last one, I did like the top bottoms of burlesque, I think was the theme that year.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was my, I mean, I did this year a little bit. I did like—
Yes, we saw.
Little shout out with Kyle, and they played like each, I like that it was a retrospective of like past hit numbers, you know? I thought that was a clever idea given the time that we're in. Like, what else can you do?
Yeah.
Have people like in their studio apartments, like, so it's not really conducive to like putting on what they're used to, the caliber of show that they normally do. So it was cool to kind of revisit, and they played my first year. I was Pan.
Yes. Okay. I was wondering what that number was.
Haley's in that number. She's one of the girls.
Oh.
Let's see. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was the half man, half goat that got milk.
Yes. The guy was that Todd Bonapane in drag? Yeah. Oh my God. Hysterical. Yeah.
I watched Broadway. This was my first Broadway Bears.
Yeah.
Well, not a bad introduction because they did show some pretty great, you know.
Yeah.
An homage to the past.
And Kyle was very featured too. He had his number.
Yes. Scrimmage, where he was the cross coach. Yeah.
Fun. Hot. Yeah. Very fun. That's so fun.
What I loved about it was like there was so much like body positivity as well. Like there was people of different sizes and everything, which is really cool. Like similar to how Canada's Drag Race pit crew is differently shaped people as well. Like I thought that was really cool. All right, Connor, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Oh, that's okay. I was going to say, we've been talking about a lot of things, but I do want to jump back and ask Nick. Mm. We like to ask our guests about their Ring of Keys moment as it relates to a life in the arts. So that moment when you were a kid or maybe a little older, when you realized that you loved, you know, pop culture, entertainment, theater, and maybe decided that you really wanted to make that a part of your life forever. Do you have a Ring of Keys moment?
I do. I feel like I have like an entire Ring of Keys moment. I like my love of theater. I know this is like not the best representation of what the industry is, but like I fell in love with musical theater by way of the Chorus Line film as a kid. Like it would be on TV and I would just be obsessed. And like that, oh my God, that's what Broadway is. Like that's what I want to do. And then I saw like a tour, like a non-union tour of it come through my hometown for like a one-nighter. And it was just like, that was my first time seeing that musical live. And I was just like, this is what I have to do. So that movie really like kind of set off my love for dance and theater. And I also, like, when I was 9, my mom took me to, like, this weird review on New Year's Eve, where it was this group called the Showstoppers in our hometown, and they were putting on this, like, New Year's Eve performance, and I was, like, 9 years old. And so that was, like, the actual birth of my love for performing, because I was, like, I want to do that. I turned to my mom, I was, like, I have to do that. And then, like, a week later, I was, like, auditioning for a show and was in it. But, and this is, okay, this is going to go back to Haley and I, we talked about this like in depth. But my understanding of like showmanship and stage presence and sort of like, just, I don't know, something that's not tangible about someone that makes them a star. Like when I was a kid in high school and like think back to like those major like VMA performances when they were like, mm-hmm. just, I don't know. There was something about the quality and like production value then that, I don't know, maybe some of them were like at Lincoln Center. They're just like felt like extra. And fucking Britney would just lay it out. Like what she was like the most confidence I'd ever seen like exuded from a human being. I'm like, that's how you do it, bitch. That's how you do it. And so there was something informing. I feel like that's, to me, people are like, oh, she's not a great singer. She's not a great, like, whatever. There was something about the full package entertainer that would like leave it all on the stage that really struck me. And I think that's what, I gravitated towards the most was just like this essence of confidence that she just was like an explosion of talent in that way. And so I was like, I want to be like that. Like, I feel like I learned how to investigate my body in the way that she moved. And I know there was just something about, you know, and I've had that discussion with like other Broadway, like performers and Broadway stars where they like can recognize that. And a lot of people discredit, I don't want to make this whole thing about Britney Spears, but
I love Britney. Go on.
I know. But it's just, there is something that I feel like I have to credit to that, for my success, because she taught me how to like eat the stage.
So. And she did. I love that. That's like the first time anybody's really talked about a pop star influencing their path.
Yeah, there just was something that I wanted to bring from what I watched her do into my own life, into how I performed and how I, you know, would just be, it felt like she was 100% present in that moment, just like having the time of her life. And I was like, that's it. That's the secret.
Yeah.
And you know, it all tracks, honestly, because like seeing clips of you as Felicia or in Broadway Bears, like you own the stage in a similar way. That's like confident, you know, it's Nickney.
Nickney. I love it. Going back to the Chorus Line film, that was the first time I ever saw a Chorus Line 2, and I really enjoyed it, but people had told me it was bad. So when I was watching it, I was like, am I supposed to hate this? But I enjoyed it when I first saw it. I thought it was good. I think A Chorus Line is like one of the most perfect musicals out there. I don't know, now having seen it live and on film, I don't know how well it translated to film, but I still did enjoy it a lot.
Agreed. I think it holds up in the idea, like the general theme and concepts. It's just like there's some things that I don't know why they made changes to. I think it was just like specific to the time period. They're like, let's update this in a way, which now makes it feel really dated. Mm-hmm. 'Cause the musical itself is like a period piece. It's like a time capsule, but it's still relatable, you know? And I think, yeah, the film, that people that are like diehard Chorus Line, people are like, that movie's garbage. But if it's your first viewing of it, like it did something, it like inspired me to, you know, pursue this. So.
And then how cool that you ultimately were in it too on Broadway.
Talk about another crazy moment to me. Yeah. In my college dorm room, I had the show poster of A Chorus Line and Chicago, like on the wall next to my bed. And then I ended up doing them both on Broadway. It was like, I literally secreted that shit.
Yes, it works.
It was a vision board before like it had a name to be a vision board. You know, like,
that actually reminds me of, I mean, maybe I'm making myself seem a lot younger than I am, but the first time I ever saw Rent was the film. And I was obsessed. Oh my God. I was like, this music is unbelievable.
Oh my God.
I'm seeing things I've never seen before. I mean, we were just kids in Ohio who...
And we were Rosario Dawson stans.
Oh my God. We were gagged for Rosario Dawson, let me tell you. And we were like, this is so great. This is amazing. Because I think like we were in our first musical, then we were obsessed with Wicked, and from Wicked found Adina. And then we were like, oh my God, she's also in this other phenomenon. And then I remember when people told me that the Rent film was like, I mean, no disrespect to anyone who was in it. Everyone's like, oh, it's terrible, whatever. I was like so defensive in like sixth grade, being like, what are you talking about? Like, it's so emotional. And there's, you know, I didn't understand the whole Angel, the whole character of Angel, but I was like, I thought I knew, and I was singing La Vie Boheme in my mom's backseat and like saying all these words that even like singing some of, like I'll listen to it now and I'm like, oh my God, I was like 12 years old singing and my mom didn't bat an eye.
We'd be like trading off lines.
But kind of reminds me of A Chorus Line, where it's like, I think films, when musicals are made into films, they can sometimes be great, they can sometimes be bad, but I think they can also really impact someone's life. And especially as a kid, that's how I discovered Rent. And it really, it kept continuing me on a path of loving theater forever. So I don't know. Yeah. Interesting thought.
Agreed. I think there, just to add on that, there's something about it being your first introduction and not knowing like the source material. And so you're like, this is everything. And there is, I think it speaks to the material itself, that like, even if it's not in its purest form, like it's still impacting people and inspiring people. So.
Yeah. Nick, I need to ask you another question because you were in Wicked and I feel like you've played so many gay roles. What was it like to play Fiero, who I think can be kind of like a gay-ish role in a way anyway? Like,
honey, those pants.
I know. Were you still in it when they were like white pants, or were you like when they became a little more off-white?
No, they're pretty tight and white. Yeah. 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 And they would like constantly like alter them because after wearing them for a while, they start to like lose their stretch a little bit. Like they would get, you know, they would like immediately be on it and like taking in like the inseam and the butt just to make sure it was always like skin tight.
That's hilarious.
I did like blow them out a couple times, and I blew out the green, like, Captain of the Guard pants that he like in the second act. Like once I did As Long As You're Mine from like with all my goodies just out, like just hanging out from front to back, because I like split the seam from like zipper all the way to like the back waistline, and you're just kneeling, you know, so it's just like squatting. So we were like trying not to laugh about it the whole time. My
and then you like stand up with the lantern and you're like covering yourself, like
yeah.
Thank goodness it's dark. Yeah.
I mean, we knew, like I think Emmy Rae Lampman was on, she was our Alphabet standby, and she,
oh, cool.
We just were like, well, it is what it is.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. But I loved playing Fiero. It was so much fun. It's like, it's interesting because it's like, you have a lot of time backstage. And especially having done that show after I did Priscilla, where I felt like I never leave the stage. Like I was doing costume changes inside the set or like for 20 seconds off stage and running back on. And, you know, like, all of my backstage antics in that show were as exhausting, if not more, than what I did on stage. So then I was like, oh, I have a song now, and then I've got like an hour to do nothing, and then I come on and do a duet, and then that's it. Okay. Like, he's like so effectively used throughout the show, though, that you feel like he's more of a presence than what is required. Like, your stage time is minimal, but it's really great because that show is such like a, I mean, I hate, it's an iconic musical. Like,
oh yeah.
It's a blockbuster hit. Everyone knows it. And the love story is, you know, people just love it. So you come out to take your bow at the end of that show, and they act like Fiero is the rock star. So it was thrilling. It was really, really fun.
I just remembered one of our best friends, Isaac, saw you play Fiero in like maybe Cincinnati or Dayton or something like that. And it's funny because Wicked is, for people who aren't theater people, that's the show they'll be like, oh, I love Wicked, or I saw Wicked. And so when we told him that you were coming on this week, he's like, oh my God, I remember him as Fiero. He was in love. Anyway, so there's a couple other things we need to touch on. We love the other two, and we need more of your character.
Yes.
I know that season 2 shot. We never saw season 2. I don't know what's going on there.
Because it was still in production at the when COVID began. But they got a lot of shooting done. It was just like a delayed start. It was supposed to start like last September, and then they didn't start until like December or January, I think. So yeah, I think hopefully it's completed, but there is another season that's coming.
Okay, so, good.
Sit tight. But yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's such a great show. Like, I watching it, I was like, oh, I would really love this regardless of me being in it or not, you know?
Yeah.
It's just really clever. The people, and it has like such heart to it, you know. I just think it's really well crafted and the cast is amazing. But I have to say, like, it from the top down, like everyone on that team is just a lovely human being. And so I feel like you can feel that watching it. Like, you know, everyone's having a fucking blast.
Oh yeah,
making it happen. So I don't know. It was an incredible experience, and I can't wait for more.
I love that. I think it was the first time you've seen Insta gays being presented anywhere except Instagram. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Talk about taking something that's literally happening in the moment and being like, no, this is a phenomenon that I guess gay people know about, and putting it out on Comedy Central. Like, I think it was just so brilliant. And of course, like, I'm in on it. Like, I get it. But I was thinking about maybe straight people watching it who don't know what an insta-gay is. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good. It's so good. I love that show.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Fowley is hysterical. And you guys, oh my God, what was like your brand? Like, is your character, like, what was his thing again?
He's religious, kind of. So a little bit. Yeah.
That's right. That's hysterical. Okay. And then of course, you know, you recently, like right before COVID, you were doing falsettos.
Yeah.
Was that cut short or did that wrap up? And
it was a limited engagement tour. So it was six months in its entirety, which was twofold. One, because they wanted to get certain people to leave the city and go on the road with it, which I get. It's like, if you have to commit to a year or like 9 months out of town, it's like some people are going to be like, I'm not interested. Also, because of the subject matter, because it's not a very well-known piece, they wanted to like effectively sell it and have it be that, you know, as it was in New York. It was a limited engagement, limited run. We started in January and then we closed June 30th. And it was, again, like I until that point, I had said like Priscilla was my favorite thing I'd ever been part of. And it's still, and for many reasons is, but Falsettos was like, I don't know how I will top that experience. I'm so grateful for that opportunity to do that material, to work with James Lapine, to work with that cast. I still can't believe it. Like, I remember when I got the job, like, just not being in such disbelief that James Lapine, this guy worked with the greats, like everyone that I have looked up to since I was a kid. I had like the Into the Woods poster in my room as a kid with his name in yellow on it. Like the fact that I came in and auditioned for him and he was like, him, it's his. Like, I'm emotional thinking about it right now. It was such a huge milestone for me in my career. I'd heard stories that he was going to be a light and it was amazing. But I fell in love with that score when I was in college and was like, I have to do the show this Sunday. I have to play Wizard. Like, I got to somehow make this happen.
Nick, I feel like you were born for the role of Wizard and I'm really sad I didn't get a chance to see you in it. But maybe again one day. I mean, who knows? I know there was some nice B-roll that you guys had, but...
Yeah, there's a lot of B-roll from the show on YouTube. So
okay.
You can check it out.
I love it. What a great cast,
I know,
too.
I want to hear you sing the games I play.
The best. Well, the whole thing, I think the whole thing is on there.
Okay.
You can see it. It was a good take, yeah. I was pleased with it. Actually, I thought, I was at Musical Mondays, like in Chicago, while we were there on the road, and they played like, that song, I freaked out. It just was weird to see it like as part of like, you know, a Musical Monday moment.
That's so fun. Okay, so we like to wrap up on a dose of drama, which is where we hear from everybody who shares maybe a piece of pop culture, anything that's on their mind, maybe from the conversation or something they've been binge watching, anything. And
I'll go first.
Dylan, I'll go first.
Yeah. So I would say my dose, as I hinted earlier, Jeffrey Boyer Chapman is not it for me. And his reactions on Drag Race are just, they're honestly just like bitchy and non-conducive or constructive to the form of drag in any way. And I can say that as someone who has never been a drag queen, who wishes he knew how to give constructive criticism. I understand that he's like an actor and is a friend of Rue and everything, but his little faces that he made, like when he made that face at Jimbo, that was like, well, you were all given the same amount of time. And like, it was like, come on, like, ah.
I know. I agree.
Must get rid of toxic in the community.
Yeah.
Literally. All right, I'll go next. So we were talking about the VMAs a little bit earlier in regards to Britney, but I just have to say the VMAs are coming up and the nominations came out. And yes, Gaga and Ariana got, I think, 9, but I'm really sad that Dua Lipa did not get nominated for Artist of the Year.
I was going to say the same thing.
Really?
Oh my God. I love that album. It's so good. It's like perfect. Bop after bop.
Bop after bop. And she came out with what, like 3 videos for it and even like some at-home performances and none of it's being honored. Like I think she got some technical nominations, but nothing for her. And she has killed it this year.
Yeah. So. I don't understand that. It's a snub. Actually like offensive. I don't get it.
It is.
That was a great album. And then she is like, I feel like a big enough artist that she should have, I don't know. She deserves to be nominated.
So, all of her videos are good.
She's great.
Yeah, she's great.
Well, I'm glad we share that drama. Nick, thank you so much for doing our podcast. Seriously, this was such a delight. And
it was a dream
wonderful.
Come true. We've loved you for so long.
Thank you guys. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Can't wait to watch your Insta stories and promote.
Yes.
That means a lot.
Love it. Everybody follow at the Nick Adams on Twitter and Instagram.
You won't be disappointed. And make sure you follow at the Drama Podcast. Very easy, just like that. And follow me at Dylan McDowell.
And me at Connor McDowell.
And we will see you guys next time.
Drama.